Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And God's people said, you know, as a church, we are called to transform. We desire transformation, and we need to fight for transformation. And, you know, Catalyst, we believe in transformation. Why? You know, because Christ promised transformation. Old will become new. We have new life in Christ. And God promised the church, the believers of Jesus Christ, that we will have full life. We'll have full life, abundant life. And God's transformation in us, you know, means, you know, from sin to redemption, from bondage to freedom, from an empty life to a full life. God wants to change us from defeat to victory, broken heart to healing, broken relationship to restore and renew relationship, from weakness to God's anointing and God's authority and God's power. Amen. So Romans 12, verse 2, though, is it says transformation starts in your mind. Right? It says it starts in your mind. You need to renew your mind. Right? And so what does it mean to renew our mind? You know, we need to go from old way of thinking to new biblical way of thinking. Okay? Old way of thinking to new biblical way of thinking. So there needs to be a mindset change. There needs to be a belief system that changes. And for a mindset change, it's not easy. It is very difficult. Why? The old thoughts has become a stronghold. It is established. We got used to the old thoughts. Old thoughts has become normal. Like maybe growing up, you know, maybe others have told you you're stupid, you're too broken, you're a shame to the family, you'll never will amount to much. And those are old thoughts. And that lie has become a stronghold, a seed for bad fruits in your life, a seed maybe for resentment, insecurity, fear, and loneliness. And if you change the way you think to biblical truth, okay, there's a mindset change that will change the way you feel. And if you change the way you feel, that will change the way you act. And this is how my mind is renewed. And when my mind is renewed, the Bible says there will be transformation. Okay? There will be transformation. You know, church, you need to believe this. God wants to do something new in your life. Say that to your neighbor. You know, some destructive thought pattern were developed from childhood. You know, because we live in a broken world with broken people, and I'm broken and you're broken. And over time, we get used to it. The broken thoughts, the sinful thoughts, the dysfunctional thoughts. And the problem is, as we got used to it, you stop trying to change the destructive old thoughts. You give in to it, you live with it, you stop questioning it, and you blindly agree and obey it. We identify with old thoughts, and we reward it, we agree with it. And when we do that, what we do is we give power over our life to the wrong thoughts. We give it power when we agree with it. And over time, because it's old thoughts and we give it power over life, it starts to produce bad fruits in our life. And so you say this about yourself. You know, I'm stupid. I've always been difficult to get along with. I'm selfish. I will never be a good Christian. I will always fail. I cannot overcome. Those are not biblical thoughts. Those are old thoughts. And you say, you know, because this is how you grew up, you say, this is who I am. I can't change. You identify with the old thoughts. and our deficit becomes our identity. And when you are connected to all thoughts, you set yourself up to perpetuate it, to grow in it, and to become it. You start to go the opposite way of truth, going more toward darkness than light, division in relationship rather than love and oneness, less joy in your life. There's more anger. You get more easily offended. There's less graciousness and more judgment. We go the opposite. And how are you going to go from old thoughts to new biblical thoughts? You know, it's not another prophetic words that you need, because I think as a church we had enough, you know. Or have you rebuked the demonic of lies? Today, I want to emphasize the theme for this year. For 2023, the theme for our church is going back to basic. Okay? Going back to basic. This year, we need to develop godly habits. Okay? Godly habits. You know, the bad habits, the bad thoughts, it took years to become a stronghold in our life. And it became our identity. And it produces bad fruit. But those bad thoughts, we've been thinking about it. We've been agreeing with it for many, many, many years. And to overcome the old thoughts, you need to develop daily habits, godly daily habit. And today, I want to talk about daily devotion. Okay? Daily devotion. Some call it quiet time. It's a time that you set aside for God every day. Okay? And as a Christian, we need to do this. It's a time that we set aside for God. A time we set aside for daily Bible reading, daily prayer, and daily worship. A time of connection with God. A time where you build a relationship with God. A time where you discern the lies and receive the truth. A time where you talk with God through prayer. A time where God speaks to you through scripture. You know, Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 to 3 says this. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Okay? The psalmist says about this habit of meditating day and night. Okay? Meditating in prayer and on the word will make you like a tree planted along the riverbank. You will bear fruit without fail. Your leaves never wither, and you will prosper in all you do. Okay? You will prosper in all you do. It's not just coming to church on Sunday. What's important to Christian life, spiritual health, and spiritual growth is what happens Monday to Saturday. Okay, Monday through Saturday. This is how I see Sunday worship service, is that Monday to Saturday, you get closer to God. Okay, you overcome your spiritual battle because of your connection to the Lord. There's fruits in your life Monday to Saturday. People are coming to the Lord. And because that's happening in the church, we come Sunday to celebrate what God has done Monday to Saturday. That's worship. That's worship. Not that we struggle through Monday to say, you barely hang on spiritually, you barely make it, and you crawl in spiritually to Sunday to hear the word of God, to get encouraged, and then you go back and get beat up in the world. No, no. We're called Monday to Saturday to transform, to overcome, to draw near to the Lord. And God moves so much in our life Monday to Saturday. If that happens, you know what? You don't need an inspiring message on Sunday. We could sing songs that you don't even like. It will be a powerful time of worship. It will be a powerful time of worship. See, daily devotion will help you through difficult time. It is, you know, I'm being honest, it is my daily devotion. Like, think about it. Your pastor can't play guitar, not much talent, I didn't get good grades. I could go on and on and on. But I could honestly say it's my daily devotion where I connect with God. I fight and overcome the spiritual battle in my daily devotion. It's where I get encouraged. I get inspired. It is my daily devotion. I find peace. I find strength. Makes you take your eyes away from the flesh and the world and see what God is doing. That happens in the daily devotion. You get direction from God in your daily devotion. You will get strength to walk in faith. And you will grow more like Christ. There will be transformation happens in daily devotion. James chapter 1 verse 25 says this. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, right? Continues in it. Not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, there is a partnership between God and you in daily devotion. There's a responsibility that we have as a Christian for our spiritual life. In this passage, it talks about your responsibility to continue in it. Okay? To continue in it. Make devotion a habit, a daily habit. Okay? Not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it and putting it into practice. And then they will be blessed in what they do. They will be blessed in what they do. So why do Christians need to have daily devotion? I can't, there's some, a few things that came up with. I don't know if I came up with it or because I found this in some old notes. It might be Rick Warren. I'm not sure. Why do Christians need to have daily devotion? Number one, we are created to fellowship with God. Okay? Revelation chapter 3:20 says that Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking. Okay? That's how I picture when I go into my devotion, Jesus is knocking. And guess what? I'm hearing his knocking and I'm going to open the door. And the Bible says, when I open the door, okay, Jesus will come in and fellowship with me. That's daily devotion. It's not a ritual. It's not guilt-driven. It's not a time where you get bored. Okay? Jesus is knocking on the door. And when you say yes to daily devotion, you're saying, I hear him knocking. I hear him knocking. And when you open the door, this is his promise. This is how I see daily devotion. Not a time where it's boring, waste. Jesus comes into my heart. And I'm fellowshipping with him. I'm looking into his face. And he's looking into my face. And I'm connecting with him. And I'm building a relationship with Jesus. This is a great motivation for quiet time. The creator of the universe wants to spend time with you. The creator of the universe, the king of kings, the lord of lords is knocking. The all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, source of all life wants to spend time with you. And when you spend that time with God, there's transformation in your life. Amen? Number two, Jesus died to make relationship with God possible. In our life, we all went through this. We're willing to pay for a heavy cost for certain things, for good grades. I can't imagine how much time and effort and all the pressure and anxiety you went through for good grades. And books that you had to buy, $200, you know, textbooks, and how much money you spent on tuitions, you know, to get good grades, a degree. Some of you, you know, when you were in high school, you were in basketball team. How much time did you put in every day to become a good basketball player? For a promotion in the work, for a degree, for a credential. We're willing to pay the cost. You know, we're willing to pay a lot of money for good food. Right? We are willing to pay a lot for good health. We're willing to pay thousands for a good vacation. Right? And there is something we cannot pay for. And that is reconciling our relationship with God. That cost was too great. Jesus paid the cost to reconcile us with God. Okay? And all who believe in Jesus, we can know God. All who believe in Jesus, nobody is left out here. We can know God intimately because Jesus paid the cost that separated us from God. Right? That should motivate you. That should motivate you. Okay? Number three, personal time alone with God was Jesus' source of strength. Jesus is our model. He's God. But you see, like in Luke chapter 5, it says, Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. Often. Okay? It was a habit of Jesus. It was a custom of Jesus. It was something that Jesus did all the time because it was important to Jesus. If it's important to Jesus, his children, it should be important to us. It should be important to us. And when it's not important, you go, why am I struggling spiritually so much? Why does God feel so far away? Why is the demonic more, you know, powerful over my life? Why is the lies? I can't overcome the lies. Well, daily devotion needs to be important to you. It was a source, I believe it was a source of strength for the Son of God. So how much more should we have our daily devotion? How much more? Number four, every person who has been effective in service for God developed this habit of daily devotion. Huh? You see in Scripture, Moses, King David, all the prophets, and Jesus. Okay? And Jesus. You ask any great missionaries, great Christians, you know, they all will tell you the importance of daily devotion. Those who depend on their gifting, maybe their feelings and circumstances, they will continue to go up and down spiritually. Continuously go up and down spiritually. But those who have daily devotion, you see them overcome. They're not perfect, but you see them overcome. You see breakthroughs in their life. You see spiritual maturity. You see transformation. You see transformation. And again, like I look at my life, what is so special? You know, how do I lead this church? How do I minister? How do I counsel? You know, I look at my, I don't know, you know, I don't think I have anything that special inside me. But it's my daily devotion. God speaks to me. God shows me. God draws near to me. He comforts me. He gives me the courage. You know, I'm not a courageous man. He gives me the courage. He gives me the strength. I don't see how we could do it without daily devotion. Number five. Well, you cannot be a healthy Christian without it. For spiritual growth, you know, if it's just Sunday sermon, and I you know, I think I do a pretty good job on Sunday sermon. Right? Or maybe this retreat that you go to or conference, but rarely have daily devotion, you will not make it spiritually. I'm just saying this in love. If you rarely have devotion, I say this in love, okay? You cannot blame it on small groups, your leaders, your family, your friends. You cannot blame it on God. Because I have seen people in the driest church, they come from unsupportive and very broken, dysfunctional family, broken childhood, and they have daily devotion. And they continue to grow spiritually. They experience transformation. There's fruit. Right? And again, you need to understand what daily devotion is. Don't make it legalistic. If you make prayer legalistic, you know what Jesus says? It becomes meaningless. Right? You got to picture yourself. Jesus is knocking. And you're opening the door. He's coming in. You're connecting with God. You know, I wanted to make it more practical today. I want to make it more practical. And how to have daily devotion. I want to give you some suggestion. I think it's different for everyone. We're all made differently. But, you know, when I became a Christian after about a year, I was, you know, struggling. I didn't know, you know, like how to grow. But I went to California. I spent some time with my cousin. His name is Joseph. He was in medical school, but I spent the summer with him for 3 months in California. And, you know, and what he did was he mentored me. And so he would have me have daily devotion. And the way he did it is he woke me up at 6 a.m. and we went through the book of John, the whole book of John. Right? And we went through passage after passage each day. Right? And he woke me up. He threw me into a room all by myself. He says, okay, read this passage 3 times. You know, and I read this passage and pray to God and then come and then he would ask me, what did God say? I go, nothing. You know, it's like, go back. Come back into the room. And he did this with me for 3 months. 3 months. And that established daily devotion. It established a foundation in me for daily devotion. And so I want to give you some tips, okay? Number one, select a specific time for daily devotion. Okay? You need to select it, okay? A specific time. You know, because we're all so busy, and in the past, because we're so busy, I used to say, just try to find 10 minutes a day. And now, I want to challenge you more because the times are crazy right now. Okay? It's really crazy. And I want to challenge you. Okay, you need to spend more than 10 minutes a day. Okay? You need to spend more than 10 minutes. And so I increased it from the past. Okay? Now I say at least 30 minutes to an hour. Amen? Okay? Okay? At least 30 minutes to an hour. Okay? And so select 30 minutes to an hour every day, and you need to, and you got to ask yourself, Monday, what is the best time that I could give to God? I want to challenge you. Give God the best time. Okay? Give God, not when you're the busiest, right? We tend to give our best time to Netflix and YouTube, right? Or, you know, our gym time or whatever it is, you know. No, give your best time. Some schedule everything else first, then see where you can fit God in. No, give him the best time. When you are alert, okay, when you're functional, okay, and when you could really, you know, not when you're so tired and, you know, everything's empty from you. Give him the best time. Think about it Monday. When is my best time. If you're a morning person, give God the morning. If you're an afternoon person, give God the afternoon. Well, I'm working. Well, okay, lunch, 1 hour. Give him that 30 minute at lunch. Right? And eat really fast afterwards. I don't know. Yeah. And if it's the evening, give him the evening. Don't say, I don't have time. You might have to take something out of your day. Okay? Again, it could be the, if you take out social media, you might have hours in the day. You might have hours. Right? And to parents, maybe you're so busy with your children. Right? I would say this in love. Your children have so many activities, you know, and you got to drive them back and forth. But then you need to take one child activity out of your schedule. Why? Why do I say that? What is best for your child? Right? It's being spiritually healthy. That's the best for your child. Right? Yeah, you could go, you know, volleyball, basketball, and all those things. And but I don't know if your child's going to be in the NBA. What? I don't know. That's a very slim chance. I'd be very happy. You know? Yeah, playing instrument, that's good. It's a great activity. But do you think, you know, they're going to be in, you know, Boston Symphony? What? No, what's best for your child? Parents being spiritually healthy. You need to make that time. Amen? Okay. I say it in love. Say it in love. Okay. Every time I say that, you know it's going to be hard. Okay. Number two, choose a special place. Choose a special place. The Bible says Jesus went out as usual to Mount of Olives. Okay. That was his special place. Okay. And so... If your room is messy, you know, babies crying, TV's blasting, people running around, where there's a lot of this, that's not a special place. You got to find your closet. You got to find this special place where you will not be distracted. Find the place that inspires you, a place where you will not be distracted. Some might, you know, it might be a coffee shop, a park, your bedroom, you know. Hey, some of you who commute long hours, that might be that one place. Your desk at a certain time of the day. But you need to find a special place. Okay? Number three, begin with the right attitude. Don't rush into... I think the problem with quiet time, people, you rush somewhere. Oh, I just got to finish this passage. I got to, Lord God, you know, forgive all my sins, save the world. Amen. You just rush. Slow down. Yeah? It says, be still in Psalm. Be still and know that I am God. When you got to learn how to be still if you want to draw near to God. Right? Be still. Don't rush into God's presence. Take a moment to prepare yourself. Relax. Stay quiet. Settle your heart. Humble yourself. Keep your heart soft. Expect God. You're going to have an encounter with God. You're going to have an encounter with God. You're meeting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, if you're meeting with the President of the United States, okay, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat. If you're meeting the President of the United States, you'll be honored. Right? You'll be humbled. You'll be on your best behavior. You'll wear the best outfit. You'll think about what you're going to say. Okay? You're going to think about what you're going to say while you're meeting with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Right? So prepare yourself. Prepare yourself to go in. And then number four, pray and meditate on scripture. You know, some are more into praying, then spend more time praying. Some are more into meditating on the Word of God, then spend more time meditating on the Word of God. But do both. Okay? Pray and meditate on Scripture. And because prayer is talking with God, and meditation on Scripture, God speaks to you. That's that communication, that connection that you have with God. You know, I open up with prayer, and, you know, usually, again, after I prepare myself, you know, give thanksgiving and praise, and I talk to God about concerns and stress and difficulty, and I stay quiet, and I listen to the Lord. Then I open a passage, you know, and, again, I do it differently than what my cousin shared with me. If you looked at all the time since college, there's hundreds of different ways I've been doing devotion. Because sometimes we get dry. And when it gets dry, this is very important. I got to figure out something. And I'll try different things that will help me get closer to the Lord. All right? And so, but if you're not used to it, I'm just giving you what my cousin made me do, okay? Okay? You'll go through the book of John, go to first chapter, and meditate on the first passage. What do I mean by passage? Not one chapter, but in each chapter, there's different passages, different themes in that, you know, of that chapter. And I will read it once, I'll read it twice, and even three times. I'll go over it. Don't be stressed. Don't try to hurry. Okay? And when I did that, when I was, after a year of being a Christian, I was amazed. I would have a question. And God would speak to me, give the answer. I would ask God something, and it would come out in Scripture. It was amazing. The Word of God came alive. It came alive. Then application is, okay, I took journals. I would write journals, you know. And I'll write down the conviction and revelation, or maybe a verse. I'll write it down, what God showed me. And then I'll write an application. What do I mean by that? Passage says to love your neighbor, right? And I will, you know, then I will think about, okay, then one person I can love this week. Okay? And I'll put down how I am going to love this person. Maybe I'll call this person, I'll meet up with this person for lunch, or I'll pray for this person. But I will be very specific and write it down. Right? But my cousin, when he made me put a box and put the application, and then, end of each week, he would look, if you did it, check it. And, and he would look at, oh, you didn't do this yet, you guys still do it. And that's how my cousin helped me. And that became a foundation to my daily devotion. Right? And so that's my challenge to you. We're going back to basic. In our church, yes, we do prophetic ministry. We do deliverance ministry. It's very important. Right? But we need to balance it out, right, with spiritual discipline. Right? We need to balance it out with spiritual discipline. And I just thought of it then, you know, there's this one wing, you know, of an eagle. We're building the strength in the other wing. And we're going to be able to soar together as a church. Amen? Okay, let's pray.